past can wait. Never anything in between. Waiting on the love of my life to come into my dreams. Everything was shades of gray. Never any blues or greens. I needed someone else to turn to. Someone who could help me learn to see.
And welcome again to PMP Network. We have with us Diane Diaz, and it's Diane without the E. What happened to the E?
I dropped it. I wanted to be a little bit creative and, ended up throwing a bunch of people off because now they don't know how to pronounce my first name.
Well, we have a protest group here, the people who support the letter E, and they are screaming, "No, come on, back up, guys, back up.
You need to put the E back on my name, I know.
I told them that Color Everywhere, your first CD, actually, first song, had four E's in the award, so they should...
Well, see, there you go. I'm making up for it somewhere else.
They should
there
just
you
excuse
go.
You for that, but listen, Diane without the E, I think that's a great way to go because it's unique. It's a little different.
Thank you.
And if people say Dion, that's okay, too. Maybe they're confusing you with Dion, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. That's a good comparison. If they want to compare me with her, that's fine.
That would be a good thing. Now,
that's
folks
right.
out there, Diane Diaz is a singer and a fantastic singer. She's also a songwriter for the songs on her debut album. She's actually written. And the CD is a self-titled CD. The first single was called Color Everywhere, and the second one, No More Tears. You've heard little bits of them here on the show before Diane came on. I wanted to have her on here because I really, really like the CD. Out of the hundreds of CDs I go through all the time, I book a couple. This happened to be one of the ones I really thought was a great CD. And I guess I'm not in the minority here because, according to Billboard magazine, Billboard says that Diane lets her singing and beautiful, melodic, full-produced compositions hold court. She sings, she scats, she soars and shakes a rafter or two. It's time for the rest of the nation to hear her. And I agree, and that is why Diane is on the show today to talk a little bit about her CD. And you were actually in the in Massachusetts, out of your Vegas usual climate there.
I know. I left the Bellagio to come do the Big E Fair here in New England, so I'm actually going to be here for the next couple of days.
Now, look at that. And isn't that a coincidence that you're at the Big E and you've dropped the E from your
name? Well, see, like I said, I'm making up for it in other areas.
Yeah, see, Diane is at the Big E, so you can just take the
That's
E right
funny.
Out of there and put it on her name if you desire that, all you E
There you go,
there.
And it's a Big E, too, I tell you.
Now, the Bellagio Hotel, you're at the Fontana Room. How long have you been there?
I have been there. It's going to be 8 years in November.
Wow.
Yeah, they have been, so supportive, in my career. And I've met a lot of incredible people while I've been there. And it's been an incredible run.
That's a long time to be at one place.
I know.
And is it time for you to now get a better deal somewhere else?
Well, I'll
sell
tell you
out
what, I'm promoting my new city, and I I've been slowly, going out and doing some promotional, dates here and there, and, it's going to be hard to leave the Bellagio if something, bigger and better comes along as far as, the next level of my career, because like I said, I have a lot of, friends and family that have been coming to see me over the years, and new friends, that I meet, because the audience is constantly changing, so...
You're doing things a little tougher than most people do it, though. You're doing it in a conservative vein. You've kept your clothes on. You're married, happily married. Well, and seriously, if you look at Madonna and some of these other acts, they really made their names through their sexuality rather than their music.
Well, I'm not going to say that there's, elements of sensuality, on my CD, but I think that, there's just, how far you want to take it or how far you're willing to go, to get you know, your point across. And to me, you know, I like to leave, you know, a little bit of the mystery in there. You know, I think that, you know, a lot of it has to, you know, the beauty of it is in the imagination, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have the new CD out, self-titled CD. Some of the songs are really excellent on this thing. And,
thank you.
I wanted
you.
To talk a little bit about some of the folks involved in it, because you've got some, you know, when you have people that have already tasted success with people like Whitney Houston, Mariah Carey, Aretha Franklin, they're writing for Mary J. Blige and Usher and Alicia Keys, uh-huh. Jamie Foxx. We're talking about some of the biggest acts in music, and
yeah.
you have the same people providing songs for you.
I know. I've been, you know, really, truly blessed. You know, Nardo Michael Walden is one of the main, you know, one of the producers on my album, and he's worked with some of my favorite performers, everybody from Whitney Houston to Mariah Carey, and like you said, you know, he's got a huge, you know, huge track record of success, you know, for what he does, and it was a real honor working with him, and, you know, even his associate producer Rodney Alejandro. You know, he's done some incredible things too, and he was one of the main producers on my album. You know, but he's done, you know, The Thief, the Shield, you know, the theme songs for both of those shows, and you know, plus he's, you know, Latino. You know, Rodney Alejandro, he, you know, is originally from Houston, Texas, but you know, so he really understood where I was wanting to take the album as far as, you know, the Latin flavor. You know, because I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico, and you know, I'm Spanish-Mexican, and, you know, I grew up listening to a lot of Latin-flavored music, you know, so I wanted to kind of incorporate a lot of that style, you know, and Narda, you know, because he'd worked with, you know, big ballad singers, you know, and I wanted to have some big ballads on my CD, too, because I love, you know, big songs like that, and you know, to me, it was just incredible to work with some of these guys and have, you know, some of these great songs, you know, on my album, you know, thanks to them. So.
Yeah, the Latino sound, of course, you know, J-Lo, Ricky Martin, there's a lot of people out there that have popularized it across the board. And I would
assume... know, and it's funny because people say, oh, it's a trend, and I was like, well, you know, I mean, we're not really a trend. This is kind of our heritage, and you know, it's something that's going to be around for a while, and, you know, it's just, I think what happens is how it gets, you know, mixed with you know, whatever flavor, you know, you want to put with it. I mean, you know, my mother was a huge country and western fan, so, you know, there's a lot of, you know, different influences, you know, to what I grew up listening to. So, you know, I mean, you hear a song like Color Everywhere and you think, wow, that could, you know, cross over into a couple of different areas. You know, it's not just, you know, one style of music to me, you know.
Well, it definitely has fit well into the adult contemporary charts.
Yeah, and you know, and to me it's like, you know, the beauty of music, and especially like a song like Color Everywhere, I mean, I always wanted to find, you know, those kind of songs that people could relate to, you know, and the beauty of music is it's so subjective. I mean, it can be about your child, it can be about, you know, your parent, your partner, or, you know, even the relationship that you have with, you know, God or you know, whatever you believe in, you
mm-hmm.
know.
And one of the things I find interesting in your voice, obviously you have a Latino name, but your voice is about as country western and white as they sound, but then before when you were doing that, when you were pronouncing someone's name, all of a sudden you got into the Latina voice. So if you're doing a,
I know it's like Spanglish, you know. It's like when
yeah.
you,
if you're doing
Spanish,
an interview with a Latino station, will you go right into that?
I'm sorry.
If you're doing an interview with a Latino station, do you
I'll
go right into that?
Yeah, and it's funny because sometimes you know I'll you know throw in a few Spanish words without even realizing it. So yeah.
Yeah, we have a national audience here that has, you know, there's all different types. We have people writing me Spanish fan mail. I don't read a word of Spanish, but
well, see, there you go. You got to practice for Spanish.
It's kind of interesting, you know, that we get letters from all over the world from people in different languages, and
yeah. Well, you know, the beauty of music is it's you know it, you know you don't have to speak the language to get a song, you know, or to feel, you know, the emotion or you know how it moves you. You know, and that's all styles of music.
Now, you mentioned where you were at the Bellagio, the Fontana Room.
Yeah.
But you've also opened previously. I understand at one point you had, like, a big band with you. You put together this really fantastic thing. And
well, you know, when I, you know, I met my husband, you know, we toured for a while with the Latin artist Luis Miguel. And, you know, when I got off the road with Luis Miguel, I, you know, was so, you know, starstruck with him and just his band and you know, I wanted to put, you know, a big project together, and ended up putting a 12-piece band together, you know, horns, background vocalist, you know, percussionist, you know, whatever, you name it. And couldn't get much work around Vegas, but I ended up doing a bunch of, you know, opening shows for some great concerts, you know, from Spyro Gyra to Jean Leponti and the Commodores, and, you know, just kind of getting, you know, my foot out there as far as, you know, for my own name recognition, you know, to kind of start working around town, and, you know, slowly started getting work in Vegas. And I had to shrink my band down just to survive, but, you know, I have some great players with me now, and, you know, you can definitely, if you get a chance, come swing by the Big E, and, you know, a lot of talent up there behind me. It's you know, these guys are awesome.
Well, talking about a lot of talent behind you, when you were touring with your big band, you opened for quite a lot of big stars.
Yeah, and it was incredible. I mean, because when you think of, you know, artists that you know, you look up to or you know, aspire to be, and you know, you're actually sharing the stage, you know, with some of these people. I mean, you know, even Luis Miguel. I mean, you know, I started out doing backgrounds with him, and, you know, my last tour, you know, I ended up doing a duet with him, and you know, to share the stage with somebody, you know, that has had, you know, that much success, and you know, you just, you know, try to sit back and learn as much as you can, and just kind of savor the moment, you know, because it's a powerful thing.
When you open for people like the Commodores and Chuck Mangione and Spyro Gyra and Jean-Luc Ponty, obviously their fans are there. Do you have you ever found yourself in a situation where they're not really listening to you? They're just waiting for the next person?
No, because you know what? A lot of these, you know, I think, you know, people that love music, you know, and obviously, you know, they do, and they're very supportive, you know, to these bands that they follow. You know, they're just, you know, very open to new talent. You know, they're very supportive. I mean, I've never, you know, I've never really had a, you know, a problem with any of that. And it's funny because even at the Bellagio, you know, I'm slowly working in my original music, and it's been an incredible, you know, feeling to just, you know, see the, you know, the receptiveness and you know, just the support of, you know, of an art, I guess, you know, is how to speak. Because, I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, people are familiar with what they know, you know, when you throw something that they don't know at them, and you know, they're very receptive. I mean, it's you know, it's a great thing.
Now, how old were you when you started singing?
Well, my mom will say three, you know, 3 years old. My mom said that, you know, I used to sit out, you know, in the front yard in my Pampers with the water hose, you know, singing till my heart was content. And, you know, and I mean, it's in my heart and it's in my soul, and I love it, what I do, and I feel truly blessed, you know.
I just can't believe the coincidence there, you know, because I still go outside now in my Pampers with the water hose and do my radio shows out there. So it's just amazing.
What do the neighbors say, though? You know,
well, the neighbors don't look.
They
didn't want to do that. But yeah.
It doesn't matter how old you are. Yeah. There you go.
Were either of your parents influences in your own music?
You know, it's funny. My mom, you know, always, you know, used to sing, you know, I remember, and she still, you know, loves to sing. Nobody ever really did it, you know, professionally. It was more just, you know, the purity of it, I guess, around the house. And my grandfather, he was, you know, I never knew my real father. And, you know, my grandfather was the only father figure that I ever really had. And he used to, you know, always, you know, sit around, you know, with the acoustic guitar and, you know, just kind of sing boleros. And you know, there was always music in the house, you know. And, I mean, I think, you know, with them, you know, they're the ones that really, you know, were, you know, just very supportive, you know, when I was really little, and just encouraging me and, you know,
as you were growing up, have you ever had the urge to try to find your dad?
I'm sorry?
As you've been growing up, have you ever had the urge to find your father?
Ooh, wow, that's, we're going into deep territory. Yeah. I mean, that's a hard, you know, that's like a whole other issue in itself. I mean, you know, there's, you know, I wrote a song on my album called Willing to Love, and, you know, that was a song that was a really painful song for me to write. My stepfather, you know, wasn't a very loving man. He was very abusive. And so I wrote this song, you know, basically trying to come to terms with, you know, my relationship, you know, with my father that wasn't there, with my, you know, just my family and just, you know, as a child, you know, even my relationship with God, you know, and it's like how you have to kind of come to terms with what happens in your life and, you know, learn to get over that so you can learn to love again. And I mean, you know, thank God for that, you know, because I mean, I met a wonderful man, you know, he's been my husband, you know, for it's going to be going on 6 years now. And, he's just been my number one supporter. And, you know, so I don't know. I mean, you know, to find my real father, it took me a long time to get to where I am.
There are so many people out there. Yeah, there are so many people out there in similar situations. You have no idea. I mean, I've run into them, and I've had interviewed many, many people with similar situations to yours. And eventually, they do try to reach out. Sometimes it's too late to find their fathers, their biological fathers. Sometimes they're disappointed in what they find. Sometimes they're not, but just the curiosity is there, and
I mean, it's hard, and it's like, to me, you know, going back to Willing to Love, you know, that song, I always wanted to do something special with it, you know, either to help, you know, raise awareness, you know, for child abuse or whatever. But I mean, there's, you know, like you said, there's a lot of issues when you deal with, you know, trying to find somebody in your life that wasn't there, and like you said, you know, you finally, you know, get in touch with them, and maybe they're not, you know, what you thought that they would be, or you know, I mean, who knows?
They almost never are what you think they're going to be.
I mean, to me, it's like I haven't really thought of that one. I took a lot of work to get to where I am, you know, without him in my life.
No, I understand that. In fact, life is complete without him. So it means that if you found him, and that it could be a potential plus for you, or if it was a disappointment, there's no loss because you didn't have him before anyway.
Yeah, and to me, it's like, I mean, who knows? Who knows, you know, if I run into him, you know? You know, you can't think of, well, you know, would my life have been different, you know?
No, you can't think
like
that.
What would have happened?
No.
Because to me, I mean, everything that happened in my life, the good and the bad, you know, has...
Made you what you are today?
Made me who I am, mm-hmm. and I'm a stronger person for it, and, you know, I don't hold him responsible anymore, or, you know, my family anymore either, you know? It's just, mm-hmm. you know... But I do, you know, encourage, you know, people that have children, you know, be it, you know, because, I mean, there's mothers that, you know, don't take a part in their children's lives either, you mm-hmm. know, that, you know, to definitely try to do that, you know, to avoid, you know, heartache in the long run, you know.
I think a lot of parents don't realize the damage that they can do.
Yeah.
With that
especially,
kind of thing.
Especially on a child, you know, and mm-hmm. it's not just, you know, it's a lifelong thing.
Have you had any counseling at all along the way, or did you do all this yourself?
Oh, no, I had to get, you know, counseling, and, you know, because, I mean, when you deal with those kind of issues, especially, you know, with abuse, I mean, it's not just you, it's everybody that's involved, you mm-hmm. know, it's like, you know, you see, you know, the damage of, you know, a household, you know, it's not just you, it's the whole family, you know, and not just how it affects you and your relationships in the future, but, you know, my mother, I mean, I saw how it affected her. You know, she was never able to get on with her life and find, you know, somebody to share her life with that she could trust. And, you know, my brothers, you know, they went through a really, really hard time, you know, just trying to get their lives together, you know.
Sure.
So, you know, it's a rough road, you know, and I don't, you know, like I said, if you know, if you are a parent and you have children, I mean, you know, do take, you know, some kind of responsibility and part in their lives, because, you know, in a good way, you know.
I can make a prediction now, folks out there listening, that if Diane without the Diaz becomes as big as I think she will over the course of time, I think you just heard the kind of thing she'll get involved with.
That's true.
A visible spokesperson for that type of that thing. If you want to meet her, you can actually go to the Big E in Springfield for the next few days. She'll be there. And even more importantly, if you want to get her CD, which I think you should get, because it's really good from the beginning, from Remember How We Danced to the end of Just Ain't Feeling It, you will feel it. It's great stuff. I like
Thank
the title
you.
Of Don't Touch Me There. But
you know, it's so funny. It's like, you know, going back to Risque, you know, because we were talking about, you know, I was thinking of putting that one on the radio, and, you know, I wanted to release that as a single, and everybody was like, oh, but the lyric, you know, the title, you know, Don't Touch Me There, and it's like, you know, when you listen to the song, and it's a ballad, you know, it's all about Don't Touch Me There, not in my heart, you know.
Exactly,
you do,
that's what it's about, it's not about a part of the body, but it would have that, you know, that thought exactly. when you first look at it. Yeah, I was listening to it. And I'm like, wait a second, that's not what that's about. It's about
exactly.
something else. It's about love. Oh,
it's
what a
about
bummer!
Love. It's all about feelings and emotion. And
what a bummer!
Passion. That's right. No, come on.
Diane Diaz, DIANDIAZ.com.
Yes.
And you can actually check her out, Diane Diaz, and get her CD and follow her career. And I predict that you won't be in Vegas in another year. You'll be elsewhere, maybe on the
well,
Tonight
God,
Show.
I'm hoping that you know this really takes off. And like I said, you know, you mentioned that you can get the CD on my website. It's in stores nationwide. You can also, you know, download it, iTunes. You know, the internet is an incredible thing. You know, with iPods. You can download the whole album. And if you do happen to pick up an album, those of you that are listening out there, do send me an email. You know, I'd love to hear from everybody and just, you know, see how my music, you know, is coming across and you know, songs that you know, hopefully touch your heart.
And they can just write to you right to your website?
Right to my website. Just go to DianeDiaz.com and then there's a contact information and my email's right there.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you. And you got to try to make it to the Big E. I'm only going to be there for a couple more days. So
I got to tell you, I won't be able to make it to the Big E because my schedule's insane. But
even if you're in Vegas.
I hope one day to meet you, though.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure, and thank you for having me on my show, on your show.
am I on your show, too? Oh, my God.
I was going to say.
I'm so shy. I didn't know it. Oh,
woo,
I'm scared now. It was good to talk to you.
Thank you for having me on your show. And thank you for all the wonderful comments that you put out on my CD as well.
I meant every one of them. It's a great CD, and it's for a first effort, it's amazing.
Thank you.
All right, take care.
Take care.
Bye-bye.